In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. As my neighborhood... Yeah, it's a great hymn. As our neighborhood started getting all of its Christmas decorations out, I was getting more and more upset about the theme that there was actually nothing to show that Christmas had something to do about Christ. It had to do with reindeer and sleighs and North Poles and Snoopy dogs and, all these other things. And then finally, the part that sort of twisted the knife for me was about a block and a half away from our house, someone had one of those blow-up inflatable, fan-inflated objects, sort of like a bounce house, but it was in the shape of a creche, which was good. Except that the figure of Mary in that creche was half deflated and sagging, and it was just the saddest thing. And I thought, okay, the clergy in the neighborhood has to step up the game here. This just isn't working. So Ruth and I decided we'd go to Gilroy, and we'd go to Home Depot, and we'd go to Lowe's, and we'd look to see what kind of a decoration we could put in our lawn that actually said something about Jesus for Christmas. I'm not against all the other stuff, but there ought to be some representation of what the season is really about. So we walked into both of those stores, and in both of them we were just hit. It was like sensory overload, that there were all these blinking Christmas lights, and there were a few green trees. There are also red ones and silver ones that had all sorts of satin bells hanging from them. And it took Ruth about 10 or 15 minutes and said, "Can we go home now?" But we kept up the search. And as we looked down the aisles, we just saw all of these decorations looking for something that looked like Jesus. And we saw lots of sparkles. We heard lots of music. There were lots of people there, and we finally found one creche scene, but it was a blow-up one, and it was partially blown up again. But the figures were really like a cartoon style of imagery, and it just didn't seem like it was properly honoring what it was to be about. And I ended up finally finding a creche scene that was just only Joseph, Mary, and Jesus in this basket weave kind of material that was shaped just to provide the outlines of the three of them. And it's not blow up. It's about 4 feet high, and it has lighting inside it. And actually, we ended up putting it up inside. It was so pretty. We decided we wanted to experience it for a while. And as I was looking at those lights of this thing we brought home to really remind us and the neighborhood what Christmas is really about, it got me thinking about the lights of Christmas versus the light of Christ at Christmas. The lights of Christmas versus the light of Christ. And probably the most familiar place in Scripture that we think about the light of Christ is the prologue to John's Gospel. And in that, it says, "The Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world." This is an image of Christ bringing the light of God's essence into this world to live with us. God's essence being that light to change us. And certainly to me, the most clear liturgical expression of that is the way we celebrate the great vigil the evening before Easter. And it is my favorite service of the year. I just find it gorgeous and meaningful. And, you know, it starts with the church in total darkness. No lights are on. We meet outside at the base of the steps into the church. Last year, I tried really hard to use flint to light the fire. Gave up on the flint. We used matches. But anyways, we started a fire. And the fire lighted a taper. And the taper lighted a paschal candle. And as the paschal candle was processed into the church, more and more lights were turned on. More and more people lighted their candles that they were carrying, so that it ended up being this brightly lighted room. And it's, to me, meaningful that as we process up, there are three stations where we chant. I've got to clear my throat after my cold here. The light of Christ. And everybody responds back, thanks be to God. And then halfway through, the light of Christ, thanks be to God. And then when we get up here, the light of Christ, thanks be to God. The light of Christ, the light of Christ, brought into this place, and we're reminded, the light of Christ, thanks be to God. At Christmas, the light of Christ, that essence of God, brought here to earth to live among us, came as a human baby. Our focus during Advent season is to think about and for us to pray about how much this world needs God's light and how much you and I personally need God's light in our life. We need that light. And, you know, I was convinced for so long that our generation needs this awareness of God's light more than any previous generation, until I read something. Let me read to you a newspaper editorial that I found. The world is too big for us. Too much is going on. Too many crimes. Too much violence and excitement. Try as you will, you get behind in the race in spite of yourself. It is an incessant strain to keep pace, and still you lose ground. Science empties its discoveries on you so fast that you stagger beneath them in hopeless bewilderment. The political world is news seen so rapidly you are out of breath trying to keep pace with who is in and who is out. Everything is high pressure. Human nature cannot endure much more. That pretty well says it, right? That article was written in the Atlantic Journal, June 16th, 1833. Okay, so maybe we're just going around in the same circle, right? Humankind is just part of what we experience in life. In today's Old Testament lesson, we get insight into that same truth. The prophet Isaiah was begging God to intervene, to show God's self, to take control. Please, God, take control. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down so that the mountains would quake at your presence. Isaiah loved God, and he was grieving over what was left of Jerusalem. They had just come back from the exile in Babylon. The city had been destroyed. The temple had been leveled. This holy space that they understood was the place that heaven and earth touched was leveled to the ground. And Isaiah and the people carried a deep sense of separation from God. They felt that they were living in darkness. And so this passage from the prophet Isaiah is a plea for God to return the light of his presence to his people. Well, I can pray that today. That's a plea I can make for God's presence to be among his people today. In Mark's gospel, Jesus told his disciples that it was important to notice what's going on around them. They need to notice the signs of God's kingdom because it is on its way. They need to be aware. They need to be ready. They need to pay attention to the light that Christ was bringing to us, to live in us, and to show itself to the world through us. Our paying attention to the light of Christ changes the way you and I live. When we make that decision for Christ's light to live in us, it is going to change decisions we make and attitudes we have and the way we respond when things don't go well. And it changes us. And when it changes us, that represents the power to change the world. That's a promise that Scripture makes us, that the change that happens in us is a change that can change the world. Paul reminds the Corinthians that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait. Followers of Jesus have all the spiritual connections that we need. We know what we need to know. We need to live expectantly. We need to pay attention to the signs that are around us. We need to show the light of Christ to the world. So getting back to this shopping trip that Ruth and I made, and to all the Christmas lights that screamed out the secular side of Christmas, I've decided on a personal decision that I'm making this Advent season, and I'd like to share it with you, see if you'd like to share in on it. I've decided that for Christmas, every time I see blinking, flashing Christmas lights, and I see blinking noses on reindeer, and I see lights outlining people's windows and the eaves of their roofs, I'm going to say, the light of Christ. Thanks be to God. The light of Christ. Thanks be to God. I'd like you to join me in keeping alive in us the real message of Christmas. I'd like you to use that little chant that we use at the Easter Vigil, because they're words that remind us why we have an Advent season. It is the reason we have this Advent season. I ask you to join me using the lights that our neighbors are going to be putting on display, regardless of their motive of putting the lights up. It doesn't matter. It reminds us that the source of God's light has come before and is going to come again. The challenge of Advent season is for us to live expectantly, to be alert, to be ready. And I pray that every incandescent light and every fluorescent light, every CFL bulb, every LED light, every UV light, every black light, every laser light reminds us that Christ is the true light of the world. Amen. Thank you.